preach. There. Hello? Yes. So whatever I said, you don't know, but I was smiling about it. Yesterday, we had a clothing giveaway. There you go. Clothing giveaway. We had 128 people. 133. I'm sorry. 135. Oh, well, it keeps going up. we had 135 people from the community at the clothing giveaway yesterday, and we had 28 servants from our church. And I'm very thankful for everybody who participated to help set up and help clean up and help sort the clothes and make the food for breakfast. And all of that made it possible for us to interact with people in our community and reach out to them. And what a great thing it is to be able to be a part of that goodwill ministry of the church and share God's love with our community, and also get a chance to interact with them and be a part of the good spill message and share the good news of Christ. This morning, I want to remind you that I did not forget the challenge for the week. We had, if you remember, we went over the gospel message, and I suggested that maybe you sit at home for a while and see if you can come up with your own gospel summary in 10 words or less, because I knew that would take some study of the gospel, and it's a good study, and you would have those 10 words, and you would know them. So I'm sure that you've all got your 10 words, so we're just going to shout them out on the count. No, I'm kidding. But be sure to share those with one another. I think I'm going to put a post on Facebook for that, and we can all comment our 10 words or less summary of the gospel, because it's not only something we can reach out with, but it's something that we can encourage one another with. Because as we said, we come together and we sing the gospel, and we come together and we pray the gospel, and we come together and we remember the gospel, and we hear a message from the gospel, and we want it to be a part of our lives and not just something we hear about in church. So make it a part of you. The words that I came up with, I put on the board, because those are the only words that I heard. And mine was ransom paid, in Christ we are saved. And you think about it, a ransom, we were bought at a ransom. We cannot pay the ransom price. Somebody else has to pay that ransom price. As we were slaves of sin, we couldn't do it, and no one else could do it. Only Christ could do it. And he paid that ransom by dying on the cross and being buried and raising again, being resurrected once more. By that act of love and sacrifice, Christ gives us freedom from sin and reconciliation to God. And when we are in Christ, we are saved. Ransom paid, in Christ we are saved. It reminds us that we don't save ourselves. It also reminds us that we don't save others. Our role is not Savior, but we do have a role to play in God's plan. I can't do this. David's going to have to just keep up. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior. Now listen, verse 4. God, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. God wants all people to be saved. All people. That's his will. That's his plan, for all to be saved and for all to come to a knowledge of the truth. About 50 years ago, Don and Moya Ritchie purchased their dream home in Sydney, Australia. It was perched atop a cliff, and it had scenic overlooks of the ocean, and it had picturesque views of this the harbor of Sydney, Australia. And it's a touristy outlook. It was a setting that's known as The Gap. And it's up on top of these high cliffs, so you get a wide view of everything around. Don was a Navy vet for Australia. And now, after he bought his house, he worked as a life insurance salesman. And he enjoyed coming home to his wife to enjoy the views of the seas around him and to sit out on his porch on a hot summer day and feel the cool breezes, those cool, moist breezes from the ocean and from the harbor that would cool him off after a hard day's work. Doesn't that sound beautiful? Doesn't that sound like a wonderful blessing and a place of rest? Don't we all wish that we had a dream home like that? Well, as unlikely as it seems, Don and Moya Ritchie's dream home was actually what most people would consider more of a nightmare. The rocky cliff that they lived on was a tourist destination, but it was also the most notorious suicide destination in all of Australia. The Ritchies lived across the street from a popular cliff for jumpers. The authorities actually recorded about one death every week on average. For 50 years, they would look out in their out of their front windows to the ocean, to the harbor. And sometimes they would see a person. How would you handle that? I mean, what would as a Christian, how would you handle that? What wouldn't you want to know? What is God's plan here? What am I doing here? I wonder how that scenic view was altered once the Ritchies moved in and found out what all those lights and sirens were that came around every once in a while. I wonder, as they were living there, if they were thinking, what do people expect of us? I mean, what do we expect the Ritchies to do? I mean, it's their house. They moved there because of the scenic views. Shouldn't they be able to enjoy it? What do you think the authorities expected of the Ritchies to do about these jumpers? They probably didn't have much in the way of expectations. What did God expect of them? How would you feel if you were in the Ritchies' place? What is the role of the Ritchies? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. God reconciles, that is his role, to bring us to himself through Christ. Christ's role is a sacrifice, the ransom that was paid for us. God saves those who are in Christ. Now look at verse 18. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We have a role in the gospel message. We have a role in God's message of reconciliation. We have a role in God's plan. Verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God is pleading to the lost in this world through us. That is our role. We are God's megaphone to the world. The message, verse 20, the message, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God's plan for saving everyone, right? That's his will. His will is that everyone be saved and it all come to a knowledge of the truth. God's plan for saving everyone involves several roles. Our role is not to save. Our role as jars of clay is to carry the message, to carry the gospel message. God could deliver his message by any number of means. We could think of some ourselves. If we were God, maybe we would decide we want to bring a big rain cloud and rain pamphlets from the sky so that everybody would have the gospel message in their hands. Or maybe, I mean, we are God, we could shape the clouds into a story that would depict the crucifixion and share the gospel in that way. Or maybe if we were God, we would just speak to each and every individual one-on-one and share the gospel message. That's what he's doing. That's our role. God chose Christians to deliver that gospel message, that message that saves. But it sounds a little intimidating, doesn't it? It sounds like a lot of responsibility. If we are the megaphones, we have to be sure that we're working properly, that we understand the message that is going to be going through us. But carrying a message of life, one of the reasons that it sounds intimidating is because carrying a message of life implies death. And no one wants to be associated with death. Don and Moya Ritchie, after learning about the jumpers, they stayed in that house for over 50 years. They were not intimidated. They were not intimidated by the hundreds of people that could choose to end their life right outside their window. Instead, every morning, Mr. Ritchie, instead of looking out of his window and enjoying the ocean view and the cool breezes, every morning Mr. Ritchie wakes up, looks out his window to see if anyone is standing alone, to see if anyone is standing too close to the precipice. If he sees someone out there, he walks over, smiling, gently, and with a soft word, he invites them to have a cup of tea with himself and his wife. He has seen many people jump. And one of the stories he tells is about a teenager who he was not able to save. A teenager who was on the edge, and before he could do anything about it, he suddenly jumped. And as he jumped, the wind caught that teen's hat. That hat was blown back into the hand of Mr. Ritchie. How can we do this? How could they do this for 50 years, knowing that they would fail over and over again? Knowing that at times like these, there may be somebody, some young person, making a wrong choice, and they would have to see that happen, see someone jump to their death. Officially, Don and Moya, according to the authorities, have kept 160 from jumping. They've saved that many, according to the record, from jumping. But he and his wife say they have seen many more saved than they have seen lost, because they were willing to offer a smile and a cup of tea. And they came with an alternative message from jumping to your death, a message of hope, a message of compassion and love, a message of life, which for the people who listened, that message became their salvation. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. Peter says, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. You, Christian, have been born again through the living and enduring Word of God. That living and enduring Word of God that creates new life. And you have been born again through that Word." Verse 25. "And this is the Word that was preached to you." This is the Word that was proclaimed to you. The Word of God that saves was preached to you, was proclaimed to you. The gospel was shared with you. That word that saves had to be shared with you by Christians. And what it did was it gave birth to you as a new Christian, a new creature. Turn to Romans 10. That's our scripture reading for today. Thank you, George, for reading that. Romans 10, verse 14, beginning of verse 14. "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent?" God sends us. We proclaim. That's our role. Others hear. That's their role. Their role is to make a choice. Some believe and some do not. Those who do not are the ones who turn their back on the gospel message. They make a choice They choose death. Many are intimidated by this message. As Christians, many of us are intimidated by this message of life because it implies death. Some consider the gospel message to be a grim message because of those people who hear the message and do not believe. Those, the ones that jump. Some people would consider the life of Don and Moya Ritchie to be a grim life because of those people that jump to their death. But for us, our message entails more than just physical life and death. It is a spiritual, eternal life and death that we preach. And it is up to us. God, His plan for the gospel message, our role is to proclaim that gospel. We are not the Savior, neither do we condemn. All we do is just share the message of life. When Don and Moya were asked about living so close to so much death, they explained that they realized they're not doing anything special. They're not saviors. They also realized that if they did not carry a message of life, many more would die. They focus on the fact that so many have been saved rather than being intimidated or frustrated by those that jump. Moya says, "Isn't it wonderful?" Moya, who lives for 50 years across from this cliff, has watched so many people jump to their death. She says, "Isn't it wonderful that we live here and we can help people?" The efforts of Don and Moya have been recognized and awarded by the government of Australia. They've been given the Medal of the Order of Australia, which is the highest civilian award that can be given. They also hear from those who have survived or have been touched by their compassion, those who have been on that precipice when Don goes out and offers a cup of coffee. They hear from family members of those they have saved. They also hear from family members of those who have jumped. The boy, the teen who jumped, whose hat he caught, he found out he lived at one time not far down the road from himself. And his mother found out about Don and Moya Ritchie, and she approached them with thanksgiving. But at that point, when her teen was at his lowest, someone was there to deliver this message of life. In Australia, Don and Moya are known as the angels of the gap. And angels, as we think of them as spiritual beings, that might not be fitting, but angels, as the word angel, it's messenger. That fits. That's a fitting term for Don and Moya Ritchie. They are messengers. Their message does not save everyone, because some ignore it and some jump. But the Ritchies are faithful to deliver it. No one expects them to. Most think it's a nightmare, but the Ritchies understand they live a wonderful life. They're not frustrated or intimidated by those across the way. They live a wonderful life, and they live it to the full because they have a message to share. They believe in their message, and they are willing to approach others with their message because they know it's a message that saves. As we consider delivering the gospel message for ourselves and our role, we've been talking about evangelism, right? This is what we're talking about now, evangelism, sharing the good news. Let's look at that word. Let's see how it breaks down. Evangel. Ev. Angel. We too are messengers. We too are angels in that sense of the word. We are messengers, and we have a good message to deliver. We need to remember that we can be messengers of the gap. Our message is a message of life. And if you're delivering it, as you look out into the world, as you look out your windows and see people on the precipice, as you go about your lives and you see people lined up along a cliff, and you are willing to deliver that good news, you are the good messenger. You are an ev, angel, an evangel. Let's look at Romans 10 again. We got down to verse 15. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Our role is not always seen for what it is, but all of heaven sees, God sees, and what does he think? God says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. He doesn't linger on the fact that you delivered good news and you did poorly because these people did not accept the message. He doesn't put that on us. He says, how beautiful are your feet, even if people are not listening, because you bring the good news. Be an angel this week. Don't get intimidated by the world. Don't allow the world to say that your life and your message are too grim. Your message is a message of life and hope and grace. This world is standing on the edge of a cliff. Approach someone this week with a kind word and a smile. The kindest of words, the gospel. God in the flesh gave himself up for you. He paid the purchase price on the cross. He died and was buried for you and was raised on the third day for you. God wants you to hear this message. God wants you to believe this message. God wants you to turn from your sins, from that slave master, and follow him. God wants you to confess your belief in him. God wants you to accept his terms for pardon, to be baptized into Christ, and to live Christ-like lives. The choice is yours. The choice is mine. We Christians have made our choice. We've decided we will accept the message of life, and now we are God's megaphone to go into the world and deliver that same message so that we can be a part of God's plan, God's will to save everyone, and that all will know the message of truth. Have beautiful feet this week. If anyone here has a need this morning, if any members of the church would like to come forward and express a need or a concern that we can pray for,